So the Jays walked off the Sox last night, and the rally gets started in the ninth with Alejandro Kirk pinch hitting. And the guy is an absolute machine. Over his last month, he's hitting 400. He's got an OPS over 1,200. And it was like you knew he was getting a hit. You knew that's the guy you want to set the table. Springer walks, Bichette hits him in, and obviously Vladdy walks it off. And Vladdy, I guess, told Montoyo before going out there, this is over. Now, I'm curious how often that happens and then you get punched out. Do you go back and, like, look at your manager and apologize? Like, what is the rule when you call your shot and then your shot doesn't actually happen? Maybe Will Middlebrooks is familiar with that. He's a former Red Sox himself. He's an analyst down at Nesson, and he joins us back on Overdrive. What's up, Will?
How are we doing, guys? And just to make it clear, I was never the guy to be like, hey, game over if I'm up there. No, that wasn't me. It's guys that put up MVP-type numbers all the time, like Vladdy, they can get away with that. Even if they get out, the manager's probably still feeling pretty good about having them up there.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm curious about. I love the story. I love the attitude. And Vladdy was going nuts, man. You would think he walked off for the ALCS, moving on to the World Series last night. It was a really cool celebration. But if he strikes out or pops out or whatever, does he have to apologize to Montoya, or does he just walk right by him and say, what do you want out of me, man?
Like, no. Yeah. Not at all. What's Montoya going to do there? Like, was he thinking about pinch hitting for him? But he said that, so he left the man. No, like, that's your guy. That's your guy. Round ball, round bat. I mean, law of averages, whatever you want to look at. Baseball's hard. If he gets out there, there's a lot better chance of him getting out than getting a hit. But, I mean, he came through.
It sure did. And again, the emotion, I mean, Vladdy's a pretty emotional guy anyway. But I think the nature of the series, the fact that the Jays have been struggling a little bit coming in, the Sox have been the hottest team in baseball. They obviously really performed well in Game 1 on Monday. And last night, they had the lead. Their bullpen blows it again, the Jays do. But they rally in the ninth and walk it off with Vladdy. What do you make of that kind of emotion coming out of a guy like Guerrero, considering it's, you know, game two of a three-game series in June, and they're well into a playoff spot? You know, I mean, were you surprised at all by Vladdy's emotion and what he was showing after he got that hit?
Nothing Vladdy does surprises me. I don't know how vocal he is in a clubhouse, but I know for a fact of talking to guys about how much work he puts in. You know, we've seen him, you know, get the weight off. That shows some leadership skill right there. And then just his actions speak louder than words, the way he plays the game. So to see him get fired up, that's not going to do anything but put light a fire under that team even more. They knew how big this series was. They wanted to make a point. I mean, the Sox, I think, are 2-7 against the Jays this year. They played earlier in the year when the Sox were not the same team they are right now, or they have been over the past 6 weeks. So this was a big series. It was a big measuring stick for both teams, in my opinion. And what we saw last night was a shortage in the bullpen by the Red Sox. But the bullpen has been hot and cold. They've been really streaky. They'll go a week or two being awful, then they'll go 3 or 4 weeks being very, very good with under a 3 ERA as a club. So obviously we know what's going on with Tanner Houck and him being in the closer role now and him not being there and them having to go to Tyler Danis for 2 innings and the ninth inning, including having to face one of the best top, you know, 3 or 4 guys, you know, that make up a lineup in the game. So that Tyler Danish has been good for them, but not in that role, and that's not the guy you want in that situation.
Yeah, and if anyone's not familiar, Tanner Houck is not vaccinated, so he can't come up, he can't perform, and that happened earlier in the year in the series up here in Toronto where there was a similar situation where he wasn't available, burned the Sox, and it really burned them last night with Kirk into Springer, into Bichette, into Vladdy. And I noticed online, you know, Boston media just crushing him and some fans crushing him. He's getting crushed, is he not?
No, he is. It's been tough, which, I mean, I understand personal choice and this and that. But at the end of the day, you know, you're getting paid a lot of money to play baseball. I know just for some people, I can't speak on this, on how he feels about the situation. And I'm not going to get political by any means. So this is baseball and it doesn't matter. It's about baseball, and it's about, in this situation, he let his team down. At the end of the day, he let his team down. That was his inning. That was his spot. You knew it was going to come up at least once or twice in this series because of how evenly matched these teams are, and there was going to be close games. And their best right-handed reliever outside of him is John Schreiber. He had to throw the seventh because that was the top of the lineup. in the seventh, and they needed him there. They couldn't stretch him out for two innings and then expect him to be available tonight as well. So it was Danish was the guy. They didn't want to go to Strom or Diekman, the lefty, because they liked the right-on-right matchup and analytics best in that, whatever you want to call it. But they thought that was their best choice. I trust Alex Cora with anything when it comes to the game. His baseball IQ is through the roof. Those are the 26 guys that they had yesterday, and they did their best to make it work. Just didn't happen.
Well, and Cora, I think, is in such a tough spot because he was getting grilled after the game, and he said that. He's like, I got my 26 up here, and these are the 26 we're going to use. He's got to be fuming, but he's also got to be careful because this is the only team it applies to. You know, once you get back down to the States, right, you don't have to worry about this kind of stuff. So I'm sure he might bury Hauk, privately, although I think that's dangerous because of personal choice, et cetera. I'm not sure how Cora's supposed to answer those questions after the game.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, and I hate saying, if the season ended today, but if the season ended today, the Sox would be playing the Jays in Toronto in the wild card game. So you would be without Chris Sale as well, because as far as we know, he's unvaccinated as well, so he wouldn't be there. We wouldn't have Tanner Houck either, and that would be a whole other story if Sale's not able to be there. But it's a really tough spot for AC to be in. I thought he handled it the best he could, and you kind of just have to dance around those questions because you don't want to throw anyone under the bus. You kind of just got to be politically correct. No pun intended.
Yeah, Jays Sox tonight. The Jays going for the sweep. We're chatting with former Red Sox and NESN analyst Will Middlebrooks.
So say you're going head-to-head with the Blue Jays in the playoffs, and you're aware of Vladdy, you're aware of Springer, guys that can really bring it, and Alejandro Kirk steps up to the plate. What is your first impression? Because he's a folk hero up here. I love him.
That
I bring
place
him
was
up
buzzing
all the time.
When he pinched hit last night.
But
man,
I mean, like,
nuts.
I just want to know the impressions from outside this market, from a guy who's played and seen all different shapes and sizes of players and how effective they are. What's your impression of him?
Well, the first thing I heard was he was built like a fire hydrant, and I thought that was a good comparison. But man, can this kid hit? And he's 20. He's only 23, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's 23 years old.
He's young. Yep.
But he's as watching him throughout this season, because I watched him in the first month and I was thinking, okay, maybe he's just hot. Guys don't know how to attack him, this and that. I like him behind the plate. Is he really this good offensively? I think so. I feel like he's just a pure hitter. Like, he's not afraid to go the other way. If you hang it, he'll crush you. He can hit with some pop as well. He's got a K percentage under 10%, which in this era of baseball is special for any player. He walks more than he strikes out, which we don't really see anymore. You see guys that walk more than they strike out, it seems like they're like little like Punch and Judy's or like a David Eckstein just taking their singles. But he can hit with pop too, and he's got a 3.3 WAR. I think it's tied for 11th in baseball and first among catchers. Like, this kid, regardless, I mean, it's a typical don't judge a book by its cover, because he is playing like one of the best players in the game right now.
Well, I was just curious. The Yankees are 13 games up, I think, on the Red Sox and Jays. If you were going to pick a team to catch them, you could even include Tampa if you wanted. Is there anyone you think that is capable of catching New York?
Unless we get like an Angels in the outfield situation, there is absolutely zero chance anybody's catching the New York Yankees if they are healthy. We've seen the past couple of years, like, this is a pretty similar lineup. I think they've had better rotations in the past. I think they have some guys overperforming as far as Jameson Taillon and Nasty Nestor Cortez in the five spot. Look, really, he's been really good this year. But if they're healthy, which they have been, they've had guys go on and off the IL here and there in spots, but not like the last couple of years where we've seen three or four of them at a time on the IL for 3 weeks at a time. We haven't seen that. And when they're all out there, this team is really, really good. They live and die by the home run, right? We know that. That's who they are. They have 123 homers, I think, in 74 games. That's like leads the league by like 10 at least. But they're pitching too. So you're going to go out there, you're going to be the old school Bronx Bombers. They're going to bully you. They're going to hit home runs. They can beat you by 15, and then you can be up three like we saw against Houston. Your closer's on the mound, Ryan Presley, and they come back and beat you when you have them on the ropes. So this is just a complete ball club right now, and anybody playing them should be worried about it.
Yeah, they are. Always great catching up with you, Will. Thank you for doing this. We'll do it again down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it. Will Middlebrooks, longtime MLB-er, former Red Sox analyst down with NESN.